day, another opportunity to come here and hear another portion of your word, sing songs of praise, your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service. May everything we do be in accordance to thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Birthdays. You got any birthdays? Nobody had a birthday. Got any now?
Nope. I'm sorry about that song. This is not the music in the book that I play. And I don't know. My piece is probably in Christy's book. She's got.
Anybody, you got any
days? It's not the same type of
Brother Lee?
It's not the same music that I play.
Yeah. Good morning, all of you. It's good to see you. Good to have a few folks visiting with us or new to us. And it's good to see some folks that we used to see regularly, but they've come back. They've been in Florida all winter, but we're happy they're back. And I think we're all together now.
I do have Jody had an accident yesterday. She fell and cut her head, and I won't tell you how she fell. She had no business in.
I'll tell you, she fell in the septic tank.
She had a what? She had a plumbing problem. She had her, and they were there working on her plumbing, not yesterday, but Friday, and of course she had to be right down there seeing what was going on, and she fell in the hole, and she hit her head up on top and cut her head pretty deep. She hit a brick, and she said, I'm okay, but I just... She's sore all over, so she... Bless her heart, she's had a time.
Well, we want to put Jody on the list then, and that's one of our Florida people that's not back to church yet.
She's back in Nicholsville.
But she is back in Nicholsville. Okay.
Yes, she is.
Gail, we can send her a card.
Okay, I'll get one.
We can send you a card. Well, let me mention a few others that need your attention in prayer. Charlotte Wilhoit, who's a longtime member here at Little Hickman, she's now living in Prestonsburg, and a letter from her niece, Sheila Calhoun, tells us that her physical and mental health both are declining, and she would appreciate our prayers. There's a letter on the bulletin board that gives you the details on Charlotte.
Send her a card also.
Judy McCauley, who formerly attended here at Little Hickman, is still in rehab in Florida, very slowly recovering from a severe case of COVID. So keep her in your prayers. And there's still a need for prayer for Vicki Dunaway, I believe.
She is home, doing better.
She's doing better, good. Eddie Justina's brother-in-law, Paul Medler, had surgery just not too long ago. And also a good friend of theirs, Mabel Bitzer, is seriously ill. So these folks all need your prayers. I want to remind you once again, Grace Lunsford asked us to pray that she find a church where she can serve in Georgia, where she's now living. So keep her in mind. And also Lisa Maines, who's having some serious vision problems, and doctors were trying to save her vision. Don't forget Bunky Overstreet, who's experienced the loss of three close family members within just a period of about 6 weeks. So he's in a great need of comfort. We have our long-term patients, but I got two new requests this morning. One for Eva Goldie. This is Larry Bruner's mother, and she's 90, but she fell and had some fractures. She's doing okay, but she's laid up for a while, I would say. And also Cash Smith, and this is Teresa Bruner's great nephew, who broke his arm. If you might have seen that on Facebook too. So keep them in your prayers. Our long-term patients, our cancer patients, for example. And we have a new name to add to that list. There's Bud Jeanette, who's doing better. Allison Moss, Randy Olson, whose cancer has gone to his brain now. Keegan Guy, Ron Cundiff has gone to Cleveland Clinic for treatment. Jimmy Whitaker, and a new name to add, and that's Terry Grimmett. Yes?
Yeah, I have one to add too, which is Dave McKibben. He's a co-worker and friend of mine. It appears his cancer is back for the third time, and he has some tests this week coming up.
His name is Dave
McKibben, M-C-K-I-B-B-E-N.
Dave. Let me write that down.
Brother Lee, I have a, I guess you call it a thankful prayer or a blessing. Cicely Ambergy is a friend of several of us. Her husband used to be the county agent in Nicholasville, and she's a young mother and wife and teacher, and she had a brain tumor, but she's had surgery. She's home, and she's doing good. So that's a prayer answered. And
praise the Lord. Yes.
Amen.
What's her name again?
Cicely Ambergy.
Ambergy.
And she lives in Mount Sterling.
Okay. All right.
Brother Lee, I just have, the kids wanted me to thank the church for letting them borrow the shelter last night. I don't know if anybody knows, but we had a little small casual prom for about 20 kids who can't be together due to COVID restrictions for the real prom. So they had just a great time, and I hope we didn't bother Becky and Charlene. We tried to keep it down. But they had a great time, and they wanted to thank everybody, and they really appreciated the use of the church.
Well, I think most of us noticed the curtains on the shelter.
They're coming down today, don't worry. We were just too tired at 1 o'clock in the morning to take the day off.
Well, with the rain, with the rain, I'd say that was a good idea.
You hear what Maxine said?
What?
She's putting the curtains up and have a fish fry.
That's what I said. I'll say that later. Have a fish fry.
Yeah, we'll be thinking about that fish fry. So.
It'll be coming soon, maybe in May or the 1st of June or something.
Well, we want you to keep Roy Williams in your prayers after his series of mini strokes. The residents and staff at Thompson Hood Veterans Center. Chris and Rhoda Christie in Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home, and all of our college students. We mentioned the college students, and sometimes people wonder, well, why would they need prayer? And I'll tell you something, they are faced with challenges that you and I are not always faced with. Challenges to their faith, challenges to their freedom. I got a letter this week telling about an instance at Kellogg University or Kellogg Community College in Michigan, where two students were on campus passing out copies of the United States Constitution like this. And they were approached by authorities from the school saying they couldn't do that. They had to have permission from the school to pass out copies, to pass out any literature. And they refused to stop. So the police were called, and they were arrested and kept in jail overnight for passing out copies of the Constitution of the United States. That's just one little example of what our kids are faced with. So keep them in your prayers, please. We live in the United States of America, all right? It's a good land. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, amber waves of grain, you know. God has blessed our nation, God has blessed us by giving us all that we need and more, for sure. Moses once made a statement to his people. He said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. And that's why Jesus gave his disciples this memorial. A simple, plain remembrance that we share every Sunday, because we need a reminder from time to time, and he knew it. Moses said, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do it in remembrance of our Savior, who gave his body and his blood for us.
436 will be our communion song. 436, I gave my life for the... Once again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to meet here, hear your word. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us this week. We thank you for everything that we have. We know it comes through you. Be with the sick. Be with the families that's lost loved ones. Be with our men and women that protect this great country, Lord. As we've taken this bread and this cup, which represents your broken body and bloodshed on Calvary's cross for our sins, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to awake to a new day this morning. We have so many things to be thankful for, Lord, and we thank you for our health, our freedom, and the ability to be here with our, in our wonderful little church, along with our church family. And Lord, it's so good to see the ones that's been in Florida return to us, and it is a blessing to have ever, or most of us here now. And Lord, as we return a portion of our good fortune to you in this offering, we pray that it will be used wisely, and we will carry out your will in everything that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
All right, just a reminder, when you leave this morning, if you just leave your hymn book lying on the seat, we'll know which ones need to be sanitized before next Sunday. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 410, Near to the Heart of God. Let's sing just the first verse of this one as we stand together and join in prayer. Your power and your wisdom, your patience and your mercy. We marvel at your love and your righteousness. And we're here today to be fashioned into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. But we need loads of your grace to forgive our sins before we can be at all like him. We ask you this morning to assure those who come with guilty hearts. We need for you to comfort those who are grieving and to stir up those of us who need stirring. Make this service truly a time that releases us from our daily lives and draws us into your very presence. We pray this humbly, Lord, for we ask only because of and in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
One thing I did not foresee with wearing a mask is that when I take it off, it always gets tangled in my glasses. The glasses have to come off too. President Abraham Lincoln, in a national proclamation of prayer and repentance, now this is not recently, this is in 1863, but Lincoln said, "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the need of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before that offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." I think those words of Abraham Lincoln will live on for a long time. Another time he wrote of his own personal prayer experience. He said, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and all that is about me seemed insufficient. One stormy night I tossed on my bed, unable to sleep, as I thought of the terrible sufferings of our soldiers. I spent an hour in agonizing prayer." Also, one thing that I found interesting, during that time, Lincoln met with a group of Christian ministers, a preacher's group, for a prayer breakfast. And Lincoln was a man of deep personal faith. At one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln's response showed a lot more insight. He said, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." And that brings me to the point of my message, which I call looking at prayer differently. Someone said the purpose of prayer is to draw us close to the heart of God so that our will, our deepest desires, will be those of God and not our own. Or, to put it in different words, prayer is not an attempt to persuade God to do what we want. It's an effort to adjust our hearts to want to accept what God wants. And that, I could stop right there. That's the main point of my message. But of course, you know I'm not going to. But isn't that exactly the example that Jesus gave us in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now, I'm concerned about people who misunderstand the purpose of prayer. Prayer, God is not a spiritual vending machine in the sky where we just go and get what we want. Prayer is to make us understand and seek what God wants. And I'm concerned about people that misunderstand the purpose of prayer. But I'm also concerned about people who seem to pray without expecting God to answer their prayer. It's as if they're engaging in a sort of an empty ritual. Sometimes with a great deal of zeal, but no real expectation that anything is going to happen because of it. Now, of course, we're not the first to make that mistake. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read about a group of Christians in the early church who prayed fervently for the Apostle Peter. Peter had been put in prison. And when God acted to save Peter, they had a hard time believing that God had answered their prayers. You may remember this story from the 12th chapter of Acts. It starts out this way. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So you get the picture. King Herod was trying to win popularity with the Jewish population. So he arrested James, had him executed, and that seemed to go over well, so he arrested Peter too. And to make sure Peter did not escape, he was guarded by 16 soldiers. In groups of four, they would take shifts. Two of them would be chained to him in the cell, and the other two would stand guard outside the cell. And for all appearances, that's kind of a hopeless situation, wouldn't you say? The end seemed to be near for Peter. And these 16 guards would make sure that Herod's bloodthirsty plan was going to work. Now let's switch scenes for a minute and move from the locked cell holding Peter to the house of John Mark's mother, where a group of Christians are praying for him. If you remember, verse 5 said Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. I want you to notice something. In the Greek, the word that's translated earnestly is a medical term which describes stretching a muscle to its limit. And it's exactly the same word that's used when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Luke says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, the Christians who were gathered in that house were not playing with prayer. They were dead serious about it. They were praying fervently, earnestly, on Peter's behalf. But from looking at the rest of the story, I'm not so sure that those who were praying for Peter expected something big to happen. Looking at the rest of the story, if you begin verse 6, then the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison. He had no idea what the angel was doing. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. So there stood Peter. It was not his skill or craftiness that got him out. He was asleep. And it wasn't the sympathy of the jailers that allowed him to escape. They probably lost their lives over that little incident. There is no explanation except the power of God that sent the angel and loosed his chains and opened the iron gate. It was all accomplished by the power of God. So, standing there in the middle of the street, Peter came to his senses, and he arrived at that same conclusion. So, beginning in verse 11, it says, "Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating.' It was the power of God." And when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now listen to this. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said, "Well, it must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. When Peter arrived at Mary's house, they were still praying. They'd been up all night praying for Peter, apparently. And I don't know what they were praying for. We're not told whether they were praying for Peter to be freed from prison, or whether they were praying for him to remain courageous and bold in his faith, or they were praying simply for Herod not to kill him. We don't know what they were praying for, but I don't think they were praying for his release, because when he showed up at the door, they were astonished. It was a big surprise. They were not expecting Peter that night. But there he was. And someone suggested God sometimes uses surprises to show us that He is still in charge. Well, He surely did that night. Those people were surprised. But God is able. So when you pray, you want to pray with the expectation that God will answer your prayers according to His will. Now, that doesn't mean God's going to give you what you ask for necessarily. He's going to give you what He knows is best for you. But He's going to answer your prayer. So what do we need to do? Well, if we want to pray that God's will be done, we probably ought to find out what God's will is, right? We need to seek to discover and understand what is God's will for this situation. Does God's Word have anything to say about it that will shed light on it? Am I asking God to do something that's obviously not according to His will? Think about that. Don't be like the little boy that was sent to his room because he'd been so bad. And a little while later he came out and said to his mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." And his mother said, "Well, that's fine. If you ask God, He'll help you to be good." And the boy said, "No, I didn't ask Him to help me be good. I asked Him to help you put up with me." See, he didn't want to change his behavior. He wanted to change her so she could stand it. Is that what God wants? We can find a good example from the life of Jesus, too. Jesus didn't want to die the horrible death that He was facing. But He desired God's will for His life more than He desired His own comfort. So He prayed, "Take this cup from me if possible, but Your will be done, not mine." I think when difficult situations arise in our lives, and they will, and they have, I'm sure, in your life and mine, we seek God's help in prayer, we automatically conclude that it's God's will for us to avoid pain or suffering or death or whatever. We may very well be wrong in that conclusion. We may miss the best things that God has for us by assuming that we're going to get what we want. There are times when we may not know what to pray too. When those times arise, we need to go to God in prayer, tell Him we don't know what to pray, but we want His best for us. And be comforted by the fact that God knows what is best for us a lot better than we do. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote a book called A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. In the book, Ivan endures all the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. And one day he's praying, and a fellow prisoner notices him and says, with great ridicule in his voice, he said, "Prayers won't help you get out of here." And Ivan opened his eyes and he said, "I'm not praying to get out of prison. I'm praying that I may do the will of God." Well, that's the spirit, see? Isn't that great? I'm not praying for a life of ease. I'm not praying for comfort. I'm not praying to avoid pain. I'm praying for the will of God to be done in my life because He knows what's best. And once we come to know what God wants, we become familiar with God's will, how best we can be used by God, then we can pray and expect results. But the one other thing about it, when we pray, we need to say, "Lord, I don't know how, I don't know who You will use to accomplish Your will in my life, but I know You will act and You will do something, and I'll wait with expectation for Your mighty hand to move. And I will keep on praying Persistence is another key to prayer. Let me draw this to a close with a story that Tony Campolo tells about a time he was asked to speak at a Christian college. Before the service began, they had a prayer meeting. 8 men gathered with Tony and began to pray for him. And he was glad to have them pray, but each one of them prayed a long time. And there were 8 of them. And one of the men didn't even pray for Tony. He prayed for a neighbor. He said, "Dear Lord, you know Charlie Stolfus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road a mile. You know the trailer, Lord, just down the road on the right-hand side." And Tony recalls he wanted to interrupt the man, telling me God already knew where the guy lived. He didn't need directions. But he kept silent. And the prayer went on. "Lord, Charlie told me this morning he's going to leave his wife and 3 kids. Step in and do something, Lord. Bring that family back together." Well, it was an earnest prayer. It wasn't about Tony's sermon, but it was an earnest prayer. And the prayer time finally ended. And the service began. Tony preached his message, and things went well. And after the service, as he headed home, he saw a hitchhiker. And for some reason, he felt compelled to pick him up. Campolo said, "We drove a few minutes in silence, and then I said, 'My name is Tony Campolo. What's yours?' And the man said, 'My name's Charlie Stolfus.' And Campolo turned off the turnpike at the next exit and headed back to town. And after a few minutes, Charlie Stolfus said, 'Hey, mister, where are you taking me?' And Campolo answered, 'I'm taking you home.' Well, Charlie's eyes narrowed. And he said, 'Why?' And Campolo said, 'Because you just left your wife and 3 kids, right?' And Charlie was shocked. He'd never seen this man before. How did he know? So he plastered himself against the passenger door, never took his eyes off of Tony. And what really did him in was Tony drove right to his silver trailer. And Tony said, "When I pulled up, his eyes almost bulged out of his head. He asked, 'How did you know that I live here?' I said, 'God told me.'" Because he felt really that God had told him. And when he opened the trailer door, his wife exclaimed, "You're back, you're back." And Charlie whispered in her ear, and the more he talked, the bigger her eyes got. And Tony said with real authority, he said, "The two of you sit down, I'm going to talk and you're going to listen." And that night he led both of them to Jesus Christ. As I said near the beginning of this message, the purpose of prayer is to draw us close to the heart of God so that our will, our deepest desires, will be those of God and not our own. Our prayers are not to be empty rituals with no real expectation that anything will happen, but an earnest desire to seek and know and carry out God's will in our lives. Now that's prayer. And I think a lot of you have already learned all those lessons. But if we've offered something that will help you in your prayer life, it'll be time well spent. We're going to sing our invitation hymn, which is 395. If you have a decision in your heart to make for Jesus, we'd invite you to step out and let your faith be known here this morning while we sing number 395. Close to Thee. Now my everlasting portion more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Let's pray. Our loving Lord, we'll say goodbye to one another soon. But somehow we know You'll continue to be at our side as we leave this house and wherever we go. It's a great comfort and strength to us to know that You are always with us. We don't understand how this can be, but we're grateful that You care that much for us. Help us to make You proud. Proud of our words, our thoughts, our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.